Good morning. I'm glad y'all showed up. Remember what I said last week about preaching that kind of message, about being in church? Usually everybody stays home. Glad you made it this morning. Amen. But even more so, your Heavenly Father is glad you made it this morning. Before I forget to share this with you, if you are staying after church today to help us pack the Christmas boxes, make sure that you stay in the sanctuary when the service is over, okay? Our goal was 500 boxes. They started folding boxes this past week, and they realized we had somehow came up with 600 boxes. Yeah, and then the first thing they said was, do we have enough to do this? But through your giving and all the things that you have given, we've got more than enough to pack those 600 boxes. Plus, I know some of you are bringing boxes in on your own, so we'll let you know when we finally get done with it all. But we have 600 boxes to pack over there, and there are tables lined up, and if you just go over and start digging in, it's going to be chaos. So don't do that. If you're going to help us, stay right here in the sanctuary. When at the end of the service today, our church administrator, treasurer, secretary, my radar, is going to come over, and she will give you instructions of how we're going about it and what we're going to do, okay? So don't forget that. Just stay put if you're going to stay after church this morning. But right now, I'd like you to stand if you would. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6. As Brother Matt shared with you this morning leading worship, in a crowd this size, there are always people that come into this church service who, even though they're outwardly, you know, like Matt said, you ask them, how you doing? I'm fine. But in reality, something is going on in their lives. It's very hard. Some river they've got to cross, some mountain they've got to climb, some struggle that's going on that we just, you know, this isn't the time and place always just to share with others, those type of things. If that's you, I have a word for you this morning, and it might sound a little trite at first, but I assure you, I live by this maxim. And it's a very simple thing. Life is hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by the inch. What I do when it looks like all the world is coming down around me, you want to do everything that you possibly can do. But you know, when things start going wrong, the devil always comes in with all the doubt and fear, and he paints the worst picture and scenario, and you know, he tells you he's going to hang you out to dry somewhere. And when those times come to me, I say, look, you know, I can't make it a yard. I can't make it another day. I can't look a week ahead. I'm going to have to back up and just take it an inch at a time. But if you take it an inch at a time, it's hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by the inch. You just back up and take little bite-sized pieces. You will conquer. Jesus said we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Some of you may not have heard it. We had a word spoken in prophecy by one of the ladies in the church just a little bit ago. Said, come unto me. Jesus speaking, come unto me, and you'll find rest for your souls. The devil always wants to bring things into our lives to distract us, to confuse us, to cause us to doubt and to fear. But in those times, we've got to learn to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. He loves us. He loves you more than you love yourself, more than a human being loves you. He is merciful. He is kind. He is good. He is your number one fan. Nobody wants you to succeed or have more victory in life than Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's on your side. I stood with a family. I've got a school buddy that I went to school with that's in a coma, and things aren't looking good. And I stood with his family yesterday. And I said, look, you're probably asking, God, where are you? I said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that he's not aware of. He's here. He's here in your midst. He's going to help you. He will help you if you would just call upon his name. His word says those that trust in him and call on him will never be put to shame, ever. God is for you. Amen? That's not my sermon, but I need to share that word with you this morning. I want to share the last in a series of messages. I've been talking about discipleship. I've been talking about evangelism, about witnessing to people one-on-one and bringing people to Christ ultimately. But many times we start that out inviting people to church, which is an awesome thing. That's the reason God gave us the church. Today, last week and today, I want to talk to you about multiplied growth and how that takes leadership. Multiplied growth, where we are winning people in numbers. But it takes leaders to do that. So I want to read the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1. It's up on the screen for you. It says, "And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them." I love that line. The 12 disciples had reached and won and had discipled a multitude of people. It said, "They brought the multitude of the disciples unto them, and they said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That's because some of us, not all of us, but some of us, our calling and ministry in life is to share the word of God, to preach the word of God. That's what we're to be busy about doing. I have the greatest job on the earth. It isn't the president's job. You got to be out of your mind want that job. But when you are called to preach the gospel and you get to do that full time, that is the greatest calling, I believe, you know, to be a pastor, be an evangelist, be a missionary, be anybody that gets to serve Jesus full time as their calling. And when you do that, you need to stay focused on that. That's what it's talking about here. It's not talking about people that are, you know, too good to serve or to serve practically or to serve tables, but they need to be busy about sharing the word. And you know what? Your giving allows me, it allows Pastor Henry, it allows others around here to be able to do that constantly. We get called upon to minister the word, not only in church, but everywhere that we go. I was able to take off yesterday morning, go up to the hospital, because you give. You know, or otherwise I'd have been out doing something else. But thank God for that. But it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And we're going to do that right now. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let us go, Lord, in prayer? Would you just lift up a young man whose name is Jimmy? That's all you need to know. And he needs a miracle from God this morning. Either that or God's going to take him home, one or the other. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and thank you that you never leave us and never forsake us. I thank you for the strength, for the encouragement, for the inspiration that we have when we come together, two or three gathered in your name as the church. And I thank you that we have the promise that when we do, that Lord Jesus, you are close to us. You draw nigh to us. You are in our midst. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you would just reach out to every heart and every life this morning. God, those that are strong in you and in the power of your might and seem to be going through a season of sunshine and blessing and favor, God, bless them more and give them more favor. And Lord, let the sun shine even greater in their lives. Father, those that seem to be going through the shadow of the valley of death right now, my friend, my brother, Jimmy, Lord, God, and others that may be standing here this morning, Lord, that can't see a ray of light in their hearts and in their lives right now. I ask, God, that you would be the Savior. I ask, Lord, that you would be the great physician. I ask that you'd be the healer, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father in their lives and in our lives, Lord God. And Father, most of all, help them to see you and your hand in their lives. Father, where we need miracles, work miracles. Where we need wisdom, give us wisdom. Where we need encouragement, give us encouragement. And Father, as I preach this message this morning, just as surely as you called leadership as you walked along the shores of Galilee, you walked through the streets of Jerusalem and you called taxmen and you called fishermen, Lord God, and carpenters to your work, to reach out, to be leaders in the work of your kingdom. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would let your voice, that inner, still, small voice, speak to hearts and lives this morning through your word. Let them hear the calling of God on their lives this morning. And Father, I pray for your church, because there's only one church. I pray in every place across this nation and around the world right now where your people are meeting, God, rain your presence and your glory on us. Change us and transform us. Help us to be busy about our Father's business, doing always those things that please you, Lord God. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I share with you that multiplication requires leadership. Deuteronomy 1 teaches us that there's various degrees of leadership. We saw through the teaching of Moses that there are leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens. And I want to look at what it means and some of the requirements for leadership in kingdom work. I've shared this with you. I said the word ministry means servant or to serve. When we minister, we are serving others. And when we are doing it as Christians, we are serving others in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, because you're a disciple and they're a disciple. I tell our children's church workers these things all the time. I said, if you even take Kool-Aid to some of these little ones in children's church, Jesus said, if you do that with the right heart, do it correctly, do it faithfully, you'll have a prophet's reward, a preacher's reward when you get to heaven. God appreciates those who serve him. And that's what the word minister means. It means to be a servant. Every Christian, and I've shared this with you, by nature of being a disciple, has two callings in life. And I shared with you that the first is to serve in some ministry, some capacity, some way to contribute in the life of the church. Every Christian needs to have a ministry when they come to church, whether they do it during the week, whether they do it during Sunday. Every Christian needs to be involved in some way, because what you're doing is you're helping to minister to other Christians and make disciples out of them. All right? And there's all kinds of different ministries. We have a class that we share around here about once a quarter. It's called Unlocking Your Potential. It usually runs from 4 to 6 on a Sunday afternoon. It'll be in your bulletin the next time we have it. It'll probably be around the first of the year again. But you go through that class, you take some surveys and different things that they have in there, and it'll help you to be able to zero in on and find out what some of your gifts and abilities and talents are. And then our ministry administrator, the guy that's over all of our ministry, he'll help you find a way to get plugged into the church. I've shared with you about Brother Rogers. He's here somewhere this morning, because I saw him on his golf cart earlier. Amen. There are all kinds of ways to serve Christ. And if every one of us will somehow do our part, the Bible says in Ephesians that as each person does their part, does their work, it will bring the increase of the body, both in spiritual maturity and in numbers of people that we can reach. What greater calling for any of us in life, not only to be born again and be citizens of heaven, but to be honored by becoming a servant of Jesus Christ in the work of the kingdom. And then I said the second calling that every Christian has is your mission, or I'd say your mission field. Wherever you are when you walk out these doors, whatever you do in your everyday workaday life, Paul said in Romans 12, he said, live as a living sacrifice to God. Take your everyday, work-a-day, walk-around life and let God use you by example and by word and by your gifts to reach the other people around you. See, I was a welder before I was a pastor. I was a welder for 8 years in a factory. That's the job that I had. But you know what my real calling was on that job? To reach as many of those men and women as I could, to share the gospel of Christ with them and to help lead them and to help other Christians that were there to lead them to Christ. Some of you have jobs that you hate. You know why you hate it? It's work. It's not play. It's not hobby. It's not fun. And I know we like to talk about in America, you know, we like to only do those things that we love. You know, we talk about if you got a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, rah, rah, rah for a few people that get to do that, right? Some of the rest of us got to do some stuff that the rest of us wouldn't even want to do. Go in old stinky places and mess with chemicals and run machines and, you know, put up with this and put up with that and the other thing. If all you do is go and do that, you're going to be miserable your whole life. But if you realize that God has put you there as a missionary to be an example and a witness. Kathy's shaking her head at me. Wave at me, Kathy, so they don't know who I'm talking about. She works at the DMV. Boy, that's fun, I tell you. But you know what she does? She serves Christ while she's there. I know, because I've been there. I've watched her. Sometimes when she knew it and sometimes when she didn't. You serve Christ in what you're doing, and it won't matter what you're doing. I used to weld. You know what weld is? You roast to death all summer and you freeze to death all winter. It don't matter how you do it. That's what you do. Mostly. But see, we've been planted somewhere by God. All the things that are happening in your life, God put you in the exact mission field that He wanted you to be in. Some of you hate your neighbors because, you know, they're just not good people, I guess. But you know, God placed you there and placed them there so that you would have some influence on them for Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing everywhere that we go. Took one of my tennis buddies out to dinner the other evening. They don't do this, but you know, we sat down at the restaurant, we're getting right in there talking, and they picked up their force. I said, can you hold on a minute? I said, I'd like to pray over this. Like, oh, okay. You know, and I didn't preach to them all night. I didn't, you know, tell them I'm a pastor and, you know, are you hellbound? Do you want to get right with God, you know? No, you just be you for Jesus in every situation that you're in. In every situation that you're in. That's all God wants you to do. He wants you to take this light that's inside of you, this glory that's in this earthen vessel, and He just wants you to walk around, act like Him, talk like Him, and let that little light shine. Remember that song some of us used to sing years ago? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Some of you know it and you still ain't singing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Man, you sound good. We need to start a choir. But in reality, church, that's all God ever asks us to do. But He wants us to do it everywhere we go. And then as we do that, people are going to be attracted to the Lord. They're going to taste of the Lord and see how good and how gracious and how wonderful He is. And then they're going to want to start to come to church. And then we have the responsibility to make disciples out of them. And the more of them that come, the more of us it's going to take to lead ministries to make that happen. We need to reach senior citizens. We need to reach young people. We need to reach children. We need to reach every possible group that we can. And in many ways, we are doing that all over this area and around the world. But we can always do more. And if we have more leaders, we can do even more than that. But that's our calling, church. And I shared with you last week that every person's not called to leadership, just like every person doesn't have the gift of teaching. In fact, the Bible said, be careful. Don't a lot of you become teachers, because if you do, you're going to have more responsibility than those that aren't teachers. That's a scary thing about being a pastor. You're going to stand one day, and you're going to give account to God for your own life, your own family, your own marriage, how you've lived. But you're also going to give account to God for the flocks that you've led and the people that you've ministered to and every word that you've said. Now, you're not going to blame, you can't blame everything that happens to you on us. But I will stand accountable for my influence on you, my words that I've spoken to you, what I have taught you and told you that the kingdom was and what God is, because I'm supposed to be a representative of Christ. You know, you're going to get your turn too. You know, you've got responsibility. People often say to me, they say, Pastor Ken, you preach some pretty strong stuff. You know, where do you get the boldness to do that? I am scared to death of God. I might upset you a little bit sometimes, but I still have to speak the truth of God to you, that one day I'm going to stand before God and He say, Ken, this is what you said to them. And I want to make sure when I stand before God, because I realize this, every time I stand here may be the last time. I might not have another year or 6 months to get it right and to change it and to figure out what I'm really supposed to say. I might leave here one Sunday and I might be right in the presence of God giving an account for what I've just said to you. It's going to happen somewhere sooner or later. This would be a wonderful place to leave from, Jack. Now, I know a lot of pastors, man. If I got to go, I'll just drop right here. Or shoot through the sky if the rapture happens. But the thing is, we need to be faithful to God. Most of us, as we live our lives, will serve in those two areas of ministry that I just talked about. You'll have some ministry in the church. And I don't want to scare you to death by this, because I know some of you have thought this over the last couple weeks. They have done some really good studies on our American culture and on our church culture. And you know what they figure that most Americans, adult Americans, how much time they have left. Now, this doesn't count coming to church on Sunday when you worship and you grow yourself. But after you have gotten the kids to the soccer games and the ball games and you've mowed the grass and you've taken care of the car and you've done all the banking and you've done everything else that you can do, most of you adults are going to have about 2 hours left a week that you can give to God. That's not a lot, is it? I mean, think about it. Most of us waste more than that on television. 2 hours a week. But if every person who named the name of Christ would give 2 hours a week to some kind of ministry and service in their church, we would reach, it'd be unlimited the number of people that we could reach. If you just give to God the 2 hours a week. And that could be doing anything that needs to be done. Some of those things take place during our church service time. Some of it will take place at other times. Do you see how nice it looked on the front walk this morning? Those of you that came in that way, you know, they've got things planted and there's mulch out there. We don't have those big holes where we took the trees out. Somebody in Jesus' name came and did all. Robert, you were one of them, weren't you? Caught you. But they came and they gave those hours of ministry. There are other men in our church, who men and women, who just come at different times and do what they can do. They have gifts and talents and abilities that they said, how can I use this for the church? One fella comes here for about 3 hours every Saturday morning, goes through the building, checks the lights, replaces bulbs, fixes electrical sockets, replaces ballasts in the name of Jesus. And see, we all have things like that. But now I want to talk to you right now, because we all need to be involved in the work of the kingdom. But I want to talk to you right now, in a little bit of time I got left, and it is a little. I want to talk to you about some leadership principles in the kingdom. That if you're going to serve God in a leadership capacity in the kingdom, these things are a must in your life. But even if you're not called to leadership, these things will apply to your life in every area. They will apply on your job, they will apply in school, they will apply how you deal with your finances, the stewardship, the things that you do. These things will help you to excel in life. But they are leadership principles for those that are called to leadership in the kingdom. The very first one is this, it's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Ultimately, when you start serving God in the kingdom, he really doesn't care that much about your ability or your gifts or your talents. What he really needs first is your heart and your commitment and your faithfulness and your availability. That's what faithfulness means. All right? In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul was writing young Timothy. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. Because he considered me very learned, very talented, very educated, the best speaker in town. No, he said, he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, into his service. In other words, God looked down and he saw in the Apostle Paul, first of all, you got to realize the Apostle Paul, before he became apostle, his main job title on his resume was Christian killer. Serial killer. Christian killer. But one thing God saw about Saul, who later became Paul, but the old boy was dedicated. He was committed, as they say. He was dedicated to what he believed was God's will for his life. And at the time, early on, his commitment was, I'm going to kill these Christians. So he ran around, and he was educated. He went to the Harvard of his day. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He said at one point, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I knew the Bible upside down, backwards and forwards. He just didn't know the Lord and the spirit of the Bible. He stood one day with some of his disciples that he had made before he came to Christ, who were stoning to death one of Jesus' disciples named Stephen. And Paul was standing there holding their cloaks like you would hold a rock star's drumsticks. He was like, look at these guys. They are awesome. And they were killing Stephen. God spoke to me years ago. I was reading that scripture. He said there were two men right there standing there that day that loved me with all their heart. I said, God, I don't see that. He said, yeah. He said the difference was the one actually knew me. The other was filled with zeal. But he lacked the knowledge to know me. But see, God saw that, and later on, he met Paul on the road to Damascus. And he said, Paul, I need you, buddy. You're going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. You're going to suffer like you've made these people suffer. You're going to suffer terrible things. But one thing I see about you, dude, is you will show up, you will count up, you will put up. You're committed to whatever you're in. And that's exactly what he saw in Paul. And he said, Paul, you're mine, buddy. I'm the Lord. And it's time that you got this religion that you're following. You get it right and get into a relationship with me. But I need you to be as committed to this as you were to that. And that's exactly what he did. That's all God really wants. I'm not saying this out of some false humility. I guarantee you, I am the least likely, least educated, least qualified person in this entire room to be standing here and being your pastor. I am. If I told you my background, my history, my credentials, my whatever those letters are after your name. But you know what I did say to God one day? I said, God, if you can use me, count me in. Count me in. God, I will show up. I will commit, and I won't quit, and I won't turn back. I'm in. And you know, God said to me, I'm counting you faithful, putting you in the ministry. That's all he really needs from anybody. There is nobody that's been greatly used of God that ever felt like they could be greatly used of God. But if you'll realize all he's really asking is your availability. I'd like to tell you after 31 years of being a pastor that I know how to handle every situation that I get in. But, you know, I walked in that room yesterday with somebody I love and his whole family around him. And, you know, he's on a ventilator and there are just bags and tubes everywhere. I am as scared as a little child when I walk into those rooms. I say, dear Jesus, I pray from the time I get in the car to I get there. I say, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Just help me represent you. But you know what I do? I make myself available. And in every one of those situations, God does something in the hearts and lives of those people. I can tell by the way they react. I can tell by the things they say. And I think, thank you, God, this has to be you, because inside I don't have any more to give than you have to give. But I say, God, they've called. They called. They want me to come. I'm going to go. God, I'll make myself available, but you're going to have to do whatever gets done here. And I can tell you, if he can use me, he can use anybody. I was somewhere in a group of people the other day, and they were joking. You know how people do. They say, somebody was asking them to come to church. They say, oh, if I come to church, the roof will fall in. And I always, when I hear somebody say that, I say, I've already been there, and it did not fall in when I went. Trust me, it will not fall when you go. I have already over-tested it. Amen. But God just wants us to be faithful. And then this is how disciples are multiplied. 2 Timothy 2. The things, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to talented men, gifted men, women, orators, speakers. No. He said, entrust these to faithful men, people that you can count on, people that you know are going to be there, people that are going to show up, who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Ministry is hard. It really is. It's the best thing that you can do with your life, but it's hard. And I'm not talking just about being a pastor. I'm talking about doing any ministry. Even when you want to give the children's church Kool-Aid in Jesus' name, guess who's going to oppose you? Guess who is going to try to stop you? Guess who is going to put something in your way to get you to quit, to not be faithful, to not be available? You know why a lot of people don't do ministry in church? Oh, I got hurt. Somebody said the wrong thing. Somebody did the wrong thing. Somebody didn't do something they should have done. It's tough. It really is tough because God is real and the devil's real. And as soon as you start to want to do something for God, the devil's like, oh, really? That's why when you become a Christian and the devil can't stop you from repenting of your sins and giving your heart to Christ and coming to church faithfully, you know what the next thing he'll say to you? Okay, Christian, you're saved. You love God. Now just sit down there. Shut up. Don't talk to people. Don't do anything. Don't get involved in any ministry or any work. It's bad enough you're going to heaven. Don't leak it out to somebody else. Just sit down there. And some of us don't even get that far. Brother Fred's helping me preach this morning. Some of us aren't faithful enough to show up to church in a regular way that God can use us. And Fred came up with a term, don't be a Pop-Tart. See, some people, that's as far as they ever get in their Christianity. They never come in. They never get rooted and grounded. They're never faithful enough to be here to do anything. They just pop in and pop out. Raspberry Pop-Tart, strawberry Pop-Tart. You're a cute little Pop-Tart, but you're a Pop-Tart. You just pop in, pop out. Thank you, Fred. That's an anointed thing, I can tell. They're going to remember that and won't remember anything else I said today. We all like to think that we're faithful. We like to think that we're faithful. We all do. It's like, man, you can count on me. But we really need to look at it seriously. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, God said this. He said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. God's saying a faithful person, especially in the work of the kingdom, especially in living for God, they're rare. They're rare. You know what I hear when I hear that? I got a chance because there ain't a lot of people applying for the job. That means there aren't a lot of resumes out there. All I got to do is become what God wants me to become. And guess what? I get picked. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Can't pick you if you're Pop-Tart. See, because we can't count on you. We don't know when you'll be here, when you won't be here. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10. He said, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. There are a lot of people that think they're faithful, and there are a lot of people who want to be leaders in the kingdom and even in life. But in the kingdom, God says, if you're going to be chosen for leadership, you've got to learn first to be faithful in little things. Maybe I'm the greeter at the door now. But until I learn to be faithful with that, God's not going to entrust other things to me. God wants us to learn to be faithful in every small detail of our lives. And when we learn to do those things, God will entrust us with more. And this will apply in your job situation. It'll apply in your life in your community, even in your family and in your homes. When you learn to be faithful with very little things, God says, you'll be faithful in much. I can tell by the way you take care of your possessions or not, whether you're faithful in little things and whether you can be trusted in much. I can tell when we ask you as a church member, as a part of God's army, to do one job, no matter how small, I can tell by the way you do that job whether you can be entrusted with more or not. And see, a lot of times we have the mindset and the attitude, well, you know, if they let me teach a Sunday school class or be a deacon or a preacher, man, I'll buck right up and be the best Christian you've ever seen. Till then, I don't know if I'm going to show up all half the time. See, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. It doesn't work that way on your job either. Do you know that Moses, Daniel, David, and others excelled almost to presidential leadership in a society that was godless? Godless leaders exalted these men to great position of authority and leadership. Why? Because they followed God, and they followed God's plan, and they were faithful in little, and they could be entrusted with much. And even lost people can see that. They'll see it on your job. They'll see it in the home. They'll see it in the school. They'll see the quality of the person that you are. Jesus said, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, listen to this, who will entrust the true riches to you? Now, some of you, thank God, I know, because I see the fruit of it in your lives. You grew up in families that were good with finances. They could be entrusted with the money that they had. They didn't waste it. They didn't blow it. They didn't abuse it, misuse it. And you live a pretty decent life. I didn't grow up in families like that. Most time we spent it before we got it, if we had it at all. I did not know how to be a steward of whatever wealth, large or small, that God had put in my possession until I became a Christian. But I realized from this scripture that until I learned how to handle my own possessions and be a good steward of it and be a good steward of my finances, God was never going to entrust me with the spiritual riches of His kingdom. You say, oh, that's money and this is church and ministry and spirit. No, it all works together. It all works together. But God wants us to be good stewards of every part of our lives. He's not going to entrust us with the souls and the lives of people, their eternal souls and lives, until He knows we can be entrusted, even with the material things that we have. I shared with you a few weeks ago, I want to say it again. When we first came to this building, it used to break my heart because we'd have a church service like this on Sunday, but usually from Sunday afternoon till the next Saturday or Sunday, this place would be pretty much empty. I'd say, oh God, you didn't give us 26,000 square feet to use for a 1.5 hour service on Sunday and not do anything else with it. But you know what happened, Brother Steve? We all got busy doing the work of the kingdom. And now you can hardly come out to this place. There's a few times during the week because I make the secretary take a break on Friday. She's not here. Don't show up on Fridays. You ain't gonna find anybody here. But for the most part, there's something going on either in here or from here, out of here, almost every day and every hour of the week now. And that's the way it should be. I didn't expect God to give us this property, this church building, for it to sit here empty and us to do nothing with it. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. I want to do more with it. I want to do more with it. I want to reach as many people as we possibly can. But we got to be stewards of what we have. Here's another thing he says, and if you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Do you know if you're going to become a leader in the kingdom, you got to learn that the way that you're going to be raised up as a leader in the kingdom, you got to start helping other people succeed at what they do. See, and I see that at New Life too. I see some people right now that if you would ask them what their title is, they'd say helper. They show up and they do whatever they got to do. They move chairs and they set up furniture and they set up food and they do all kinds of things. Some of them will be helpers because that's what helpers do. Some of them are going to be leaders in the kingdom, though. I can see it coming. You know why? Because they show up, they can be counted on, they're faithful, they do what God's entrusted them with. And He always entrusts people like that with more. With more. He'll entrust you if you let Him. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, too, by the way. It's not natural to be faithful. It's supernatural. You got to love God and you got to love His will and doing His will more than you love your own self. And it takes the Spirit of God in you to make that happen. Because otherwise you're too busy doing your stuff to do God's stuff. Now you got to do your stuff. You really do. You got to take care of all those things. And you can and you will, but you're still going to have about 2 hours a week you can give to the kingdom of God if you won't use all your time doing your stuff. You are going to have to say no to some things of your stuff in order to do God's stuff. Does that make sense to you? It really is. He's not a taskmaster. He's not hard to serve. He said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you'll find rest unto your souls." But He also said, "Seek the kingdom of God first in His righteousness, and all these other things that you need in life will be added to you." He's real. Let me translate it for you. You don't have time to serve you and serve Christ. So Christ says, find out how you're supposed to serve Him, and then He'll take care of the other stuff for you. And I'm here to tell you, He does. He does. Faithfulness means commitment. It means you can be counted on to show up, put up. Leaders don't make excuses. They don't show up with the dog ate my homework and this is why I'm not here. They get the job done. That's what leaders do. And to be a leader, you've got to be that type of person. Leaders don't need others to supervise them or motivate them to get things done. If they did, they'd be a follower of those that inspire them and motivate them. They know how to feed their souls at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Christ. They know how to stay focused. But they don't need somebody else running around checking their homework all the time to make sure they show up and get it done, do they? You know why? Because they're faithful. They're faithful. They have integrity. They'll do the right thing when nobody's watching because they know God is always watching, whether the pastor is or not. They're proactive. Leaders are proactive. Leaders are like, I see what needs to be done. I'll show you what a leader is. Well, ain't that terrible? There's somebody left a leaf laying in the carpet there. That's just awful. I can't believe people do stuff like that. Did you see that leaf on the carpet there? Yeah. Did you see that leaf? Well, I tell you, those janitors. We pay them enough. They should pick that leaf up. That looks terrible. Pastor Ken will probably see that when he's preaching. That's somebody that's not a leader. You know what a leader does? I don't do this on purpose. I think God does. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you notice there's trash sometimes down at the end of the driveway? There is. People throw their McDonald's cups down the end there, cigarette butts. I've had bags of hamburger papers and most of the time, because I'm a leader, I'll stop and get out of the car because I think this is God's house. Everybody that comes by here will see that and see either they care or they don't care. Sometimes, though, I wait to see if any of you are leaders. I say, yep, it was there Sunday. Still there on Wednesday. Still there Saturday. And usually if it lays that long, I'm a leader. I'll get it and get rid of it. But sometimes I just let it lay. See how long it'll lay there. Why? Because people that are leaders are servants. People that are leaders are servants, and they don't wait for everybody else to get it done. If they see something and they don't have help and people to get it done, they're going to do it. Praise God. They're going to get it done. Pick up your candy wrapper paper there under your seat before you leave, please. You didn't know I saw that, did you? Leadership means faithfulness and commitment to the small things and the large details, and it has to flow out of these three things, and I'm going to get done today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform, if you would, before the children's church leaders come over here to strangle me, but I'm going to finish. Leaders have these three things, too. They flow out, this faithfulness, this commitment, this attention to detail, this attention to helping others succeed will flow out of these three things. One is character. Character. Character is the person that you are when nobody is watching and you think nobody else will find out. The person that you are in those moments, that's the level of your character. The second thing, there's three C's. The second thing is competence. As you grow in Christ and as you seek to serve the Lord, you need to let God show you, and you need to do everything you can to figure out, God, what is it that you have gifted me and trained me to do? And learn to do that. I've only ever had to do this a couple times, but as being a part of the leader of the worship team, I've had to sit down and I've had to say to somebody, you know what? You can't carry a tune in a bucket. In fact, I'm pretty sure you're tone deaf. I love Jesus in my soul. You don't want to listen to that every time you come to church, do you? Now, I can do that with people because before they join the praise team, this is what I tell them. I say, not everybody that wants to be a part of the worship team is gifted to do that. And if I let you do something you're not gifted to do, that means the kingdom work is going to miss out and the body here is going to miss out on whatever it is you are gifted to do. And if you can't play or you can't sing, you can't carry a tune in a bucket, before this, we have an apprenticeship, is done, I'm going to tell you that you can't do it. And I will help you find what it is that you're supposed to do, but we're not going to let you get up here and drive the whole congregation crazy. And I'll say to them, I say, now, if you can't handle that, and you're going to, if I have to tell you that, you're going to pick up all your marbles and go home, then don't even start this apprenticeship. Because if that's where it is, that's what we're going to have to do. But see, the thing is, not because I'm mean, it's not because I'm cruel, it's because I want that person to do what God created them to do. When you find out what your niche is, I love using Roger. Roger's niche right now, he may have others, but this is the first one I've really seen, and he shines in it. He's the golf cart driver. Yeah. Last week, it's pouring rain. I look out there, man, he's got a plastic. I didn't even know we had a plastic cover. He's got that thing covered, and he's just zipping everywhere and taking everybody to their cars. But see, it's better to do whatever it is that God created you to do, and we all have something that he's created us to do, than you trying to do something you're not gifted to do. I've heard people try to teach that have no teaching ability at all. And then you stay home. You don't go to Bible studies. You're like, man, I ain't sitting through that no more. Don't do what you're not gifted to do. Find out what you are competent to do. And we're all competent to do something. Amen. And there are things that you can do that you may not know about yet. That's why you need to go to that Unlocking Potential class if you haven't been there yet. I didn't know I was a preacher when I started this walk with the Lord. Some of you might not think I am now, but I really feel like I am. But see, I didn't know it because I spent most of my adolescent years as a very introverted. I know that's hard to believe now, but I was. I couldn't do anything in front of three people, let alone 200 or so. But God can help you do things. And then the third thing, it's a C, is you got to have the chemistry to work together with people. You got to be able to get along with people. You got to be able to have the chemistry, the love of Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get along with the people that are around you. You know, I've had to tell people on the praise team that too. Not many, but a few. I said, you know what? You can really sing. You're talented. You can't get along with anybody. We can't use you. You know, I've had people come in and they try to turn the whole worship team into a soap opera. I'm like, we don't have time to do that. We don't have time. I was like, that's not what we're doing. We're worshiping God. We're leading people into the presence of Christ. We don't have time for all your drama during praise team. That don't mean we don't care. But the kingdom work is too important. It's too important. Everything's got to be in its place. And man, when you find that out, you're good to go. Would you stand to your feet, please? In conclusion, I want to say this. God and churches are always looking for a few good men and women who want to do more to help make disciples in the kingdom, to help build the church that they belong to. They want to do more and be Pop-Tarts. They just don't want to pop in, pop out. Guess what's going on when they pop in? I believe there's some of you here this morning who are being called to become leaders in the work of disciple making here at New Life. This is the place that God is calling you to. Some of you are going to be leaders of 5. Some are going to be leaders of 10. Some are going to be leaders of 50 and some 100. And I pray, God, if I live long enough, some of us will be leader of thousands. It's got to be some of you younger ones. I'm getting too tired for that. But I believe God's doing it. Never underestimate the power in the presence of God. But you need to start right where you are. You need to be faithful in a little bit at a time. Whatever God's opening up, and if you're not doing nothing, you need to talk to somebody and find out something to do. Get your hand to the plow, both here and ask God to help you out in your everyday workaday life. And let God promote you in His timing and in His way. You don't have to force yourself into things. God will open those doors. And I know that because in the kingdom, this is what God says in Psalm 75, verse 6. And I truly am closing with this. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and He sets up another. That isn't to hinder you. That is to tell you that you and God have no limit except the limits that He has on you. There's nothing you can't do if you're willing to be faithful, if you're willing to be committed, if you're willing to be dedicated. Out of this 250, we've got about 110 of them that are. We need the rest of you. We need all of you. Because if 110 of us can reach 250 every week in this building, if we can reach 49,000 on the internet in 17 different countries, if we can save 1,700 babies from abortion, if we can do all the things that this church is doing, if we can put 600 shoeboxes together that will literally change the lives of the children that get them, if 110 of us can do that, what can 250 of us committed do? That is multiplied growth. And when God sees our hearts and God sees our lives, I guarantee you, the sky will be the limit. And I know you love Jesus enough that you want to do and be everything that He wants you to be. Amen. We never want to close these services without an opportunity to gather around these altars, whether it's just to seek the Lord, whether it's we believe in divine healing, we believe that God touches those that we pray for and can heal you of sickness. We just want to have a time to wait in the presence of the Lord. Maybe as we worship right now, you just want to stay right where you are and say, God, I need you to speak to me about what Pastor Ken's saying. Where's my place? What is my slot right now? What is the next step for me as a Christian to take in the work of the kingdom? Amen?
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your greatness. Father, you are awesome. Father, let us sing out this week, Lord. Like Isaiah the prophet, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me this time, Lord. Father, I speak over your people. Make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. prosper them in all that they do. Let there be great signs, wonders, and miracles following all the days of their life, Lord. Father, I speak divine health over every person in this room, Lord. Father, remind them, Lord. Father, what great and mighty things that you've done for them and what great and mighty things you have in store for them this week, Lord. Bless them now as they go their way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.